Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We welcome you on the auspicious occasion of the housewarming of Jai Gauranga Das and Tulsi Sakhi and family. I will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. That explains how we should see each other and relate to each other. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5. Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Please repeat. Sa yada anuvrita pumsam pashubhudi nibhidyate anya esha tata anya aham iti veda tata asati. Maybe that lady in the can have one. She's new. Adriana. Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Iti veda gata sati.
Iti veda gata sati.
Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Iti veda gata sati.
Iti veda gata sati.
Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Sayadanu vrita pumsam.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Pashu buddhir vibhidyate.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Iti veda gata sati.
Iti veda gata sati.
Sa. That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yada.
Yada.
when.
When.
Anuvrata.
Anuvrata.
Favorable or please.
Favorable or please.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the conditioned souls.
Of the conditioned souls.
Pashubuddhi.
Pashubuddhi.
The animalistic conception of life.
The animalistic conception of life.
I am the Supreme.
I am the Supreme.
And everyone is God.
And everyone is God.
Vibhidyate.
Vibhidyate.
Is destroyed.
Is destroyed.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
This.
Tata.
Tata.
As well as.
As well as.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Veda.
Veda.
Distinction.
Distinction.
Gata.
Gata.
Having.
Having.
Asati.
Asati.
Which is disastrous.
Which is disastrous.
Translation. Do you think it would help, like, to close the windows and door? Yeah.
Those windows?
Maybe two layers would be better. Okay. Translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Please repeat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased,
when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased
with the living entity,
with the living entity,
because of his devotional service,
because of his devotional service,
one becomes a pundit,
one becomes a pundit,
and does not make distinctions,
and does not make distinctions
between enemies,
between enemies,
friends,
friends,
and himself.
And himself.
Intelligently,
intelligently,
he then thinks,
he then thinks,
every one of us is an eternal servant of God.
Every one of us is an eternal servant of God.
And therefore we are not different.
And therefore we are not different
from one another.
From one another.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, as far as I am concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, or Maya, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected. And therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God, and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master. For then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. So, Lord Chaitanya has taught Jive Swarupai Krishner Nityadas that the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So we are all one as servants of Krishna. But some people have forgotten their actual identities, and therefore it is our duty, and in a way privilege, to approach them with Krishna consciousness so that they can come to understand that they are also eternal servants of Krishna. And as such, we are all one. The concept of friends and enemies arises when we think of ourselves as the center. As my god brother Bhurijan Prabhu says, most people go through life as if it were a movie in which he or she is the hero or heroine of the movie. And they think that everyone else should be the supporting cast to support them in their heroic roles. So you can imagine, if I think I'm the hero of the movie and you all should be the supporting cast supporting me, and if he thinks he's the hero and I and everyone else should be the supporting cast and support him, and she thinks she's the heroine and that everyone should be supporting her, then there is definitely going to be conflict. And with this conception of ourselves being the center, then the people who support us in our, you know, egoistic plans and desires become our friends. And the ones who impede us or obstruct us in our pursuance of our egoistic plans become our enemies. But when Krishna is the center, when we see that Krishna is the center, not you or me or anyone else among us, then there's no more friends and enemies, because we're all just cooperating to serve Krishna and please Krishna. And that is oneness. Not impersonal oneness, but oneness of purpose. oneness of mission. Therefore, a Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord. But are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. In other words, he feels the oneness not only with living entities in the human form of life, but he feels that kinship with living entities in any of the 8,400,000 species of life. Lord Chaitanya had one devotee. He was so exalted. He had, I think, leprosy, but he had sores that were oozing, and there were worms were coming and eating that discharge from his skin. And if a worm would fall down, he would pick up the worm and put it back. He was, you know, so although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishopanishad advises ekat van anupasyataha. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart, and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called ekatva, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also ekatva. So Lord Chaitanya propagated the philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, which means inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. That the living entities and the Supreme Lord are one in quality because they're both spiritual. They have the same qualities. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss by nature. So they are one in quality but different in quantity. As Srila Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord is infinite and the living entities are infinitesimal, or as we would say, infinitesimal. So because we are one in quality, we can have a relationship. If there's no commonness, two people can't have a relationship. There has to be some commonness. So in the case of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is commonness because they're all spiritual. But there's difference in quantity, and that defines the relationship, that the Supreme Lord is the master and the living entity is the servant. A very beautiful philosophy and a beautiful reality. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also ekatvam. Thus, the conception of a katvam, or oneness, for the Vaishnava is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakasipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. So the history here is that Hiranyakasipu had a brother named Hiranyaksha, who was a big demon and who created a huge disturbance in the universe. And Hiranyaksha was killed by Vishnu in his form as Varahadev. And thus, Vishnu was an enemy. Vishnu means Krishna. So, because they were demons, they were already inimical to God, to Vishnu or Krishna. But then after Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha, his brother Hiranyakashipu became even more inimical. Now Prahlad was Hiranyakashipu's son, so one would think that he would side with his father against the murderer of his uncle. But he didn't. And to the contrary, he was favorable to Vishnu. So this was very bewildering and disconcerting for Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakashipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore he asked, "Who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to think this way." And actually, it's true, although Prahlad, in a way, was naturally a devotee, but he was also a disciple of Narada Muni. And he learned the science of Krishna consciousness from him while within the womb. The history is that there was fighting between the demons and demigods. And as it happened, at that point in the fighting, the demigods got the upper hand, and they took possession of Hiranyakashipu's pregnant wife, and they wanted to kill the baby because they thought he's the son of Hiranyakashipu. He'll be a big demon. But at that time, Narada intervened, and he said, "No, the child within the womb is a great devotee." And the demigods, headed by Indra at that time, heavenly king, accepted the words of Narada because they were devotees, and they circumambulated the pregnant mother and offer respects to the child in the womb. So Narada took charge of the mother and brought her to his ashram, where he instructed her in spiritual science, bhakti yoga, and Prahlad, within the womb, was hearing the instructions. So the babies within the womb can hear, and from this example, I always recommend to pregnant women that they should read Srimad Bhagavatam to their children in the womb, especially the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu asked, "Who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to think this way." Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Yad anubrataha. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is Pashubuddhi, the intelligence of an animal. So the Lord is the friend of every living entity, Suridam Sarvabhutana. And even if someone, because of their perverted mentality, becomes inimical to the Lord does not become inimical towards his enemy. But he always remains the well-wisher of it may happen that the enemy, the demon, will fight with the Lord, and the Lord will kill the demon. But he's always the well-wisher of every living entity. And while killing the demon, he also gives the demon liberation. So the Lord is absolute in all of his dealings. He is kind to everyone. He's the well-wisher of everyone. And he does good for everyone. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is Pashubuddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, "I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me." But actually we're not different, because we're all eternal servants of Krishna. He falsely thinks, "I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him." That's what Hiranyakashipu was thinking, that Vishnu is his enemy, and it's his duty to kill him, because he killed his brother. This misconception is described in this verse as Veda Gatasati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivar Swarupai, Krishna Nityadas. As servants of the Lord, we are one. And there can be no questions of enmity or friendship. Do we all agree on this point? Okay. Because if you don't, you're my enemy. I'm going to get you. Okay, but we all agree. Okay, that's good. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there can be no question of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. I'll repeat that. Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. Vaikuntha means the spiritual world. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. So, in other places as well, Srila Prabhupada has explained the difference between transcendental competition and mundane competition. In mundane competition, there's envy, and thus the person does not acknowledge the good qualities or the good service of the competitor. Whereas in transcendental competition, one does acknowledge the good qualities and good service in the other, but still one wants to do better service than that person, to give more pleasure to Krishna. So that's the difference. Say in the context of the society of devotees, someone might say, so-and-so did such nice service. So if there's a mundane attitude, if there's envy, one will think, I don't think they did such great service. I actually could have done it a lot better than they did. Whereas in transcendental competition, there's no envy, there's appreciation of the other. Yes, that person did wonderful service. In fact, seeing that wonderful service, I'm inspired to try to do even better service, to give more pleasure to Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness even better. And, Srila Prabhupada did encourage competition in book distribution in particular. But he wanted the devotees to have a wholesome attitude in the competition. At one stage, the rivalry in the competition became, I guess, somewhat mundane or even nasty. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you can't do it in a cooperative spirit, then don't even distribute books. Better just sit down in the temple and chant Hare Krishna. Because he wanted his books to be distributed, but in a congenial, wholesome mood. I remember at one time there was a very stiff competition between the Radha Damodar party and the Los Angeles Temple. and Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu, and he was like seeing the results of the book distribution. And it's sort of confidential, but anyway. And Srila Prabhupada said, if the Los Angeles temple defeats the Radha Damodar party, Tamal Krishna will have a heart attack. Okay, so there may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants and performing service. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There's no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sani visto matasmitir gyanam apohanam cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. So every servant, although we're one as servants of Krishna, but every servant is individual, and therefore he has his own contribution to make, his own service to offer to Krishna. And Krishna within the heart gives dictation to each servant how to perfect his particular service. And that variegatedness makes the offering of service beautiful. It's like a floral arrangement. When there are many different types of flowers, different colors, it makes the floral arrangement very beautiful. So all the different flower-like devotees or flower-like offerings of service contribute to the beauty of the offering and to the pleasure of Krishna. If they were all the same, I mean, there would be some beauty, but not like with variety. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service, life after life, and are punished by the laws of nature. So the Lord is equal to everyone. Yeah, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, as Srila Prabhupada quoted, Matir Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Chahi. From him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So if one wants to remember Krishna, Krishna from within the heart will help. And if one wants to forget Krishna, Krishna will also help, because he's equal to everyone. It's described that the individual soul and the supreme soul are like two birds sitting on a branch of a tree. And the one bird, the living entity, is, you know, tasting the fruits of the tree, and some are bitter and some are sweet. And the other bird, the supreme soul, is witnessing. He's neutral, he's witnessing. But he actually wants that the individual soul should turn to him and, you know, reestablish his relationship with him. And when the individual soul does that, and the Supreme Soul helps in a very personal way, not just a neutral way, but in a very inspired way. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service life after life and are punished by the laws of nature. But that punishment is also the Lord's mercy, because it can help them wake up and come to their senses and turn to the Lord. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. So this is the beautiful philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we can develop the consciousness mentioned here by hearing such discussions, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing. And at the same time, one can develop this consciousness, or I should say, yeah, by chanting the holy names, Chaito Darpano Marjanam. The chanting cleanses the dirty things from the heart. And as Srila Prabhupada says, what are those dirty things? He said that the first dirty thing is identifying with the body. So when we identify with the body, then we completely lose the consciousness of being eternal servants of Krishna. And we immediately fall into the mentality of friends and enemies. But that can be purified, that consciousness can be purified by chanting the holy names. And therefore we always chant as much as possible. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So are there any questions or comments? Yes. Narottamananda Prabhu, I saw you first.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and speaking. It's always so wonderful to hear from you. My question has to do with like practically applying this. The example I want to give is, say, for is if a criminal was to break into a devotee's home and was going to murder and rape his wife. So will the devotees say, well, we're one, you're a servant of God, I'm also a servant of God, it's my religious belief to be peaceful and nonviolent, go ahead and murder and rape my wife. In other words, or like in the Bhagavad Gita, it seems like Krishna is telling the Arjuna to fight against the Kauravas, not just be neutral, or not just see them as spirit soul. So my question is, you know, there are many examples, like say in India, Vaishnava communities like the Jayapur community, fighting against the Muslims, or the Queen of Jhansi fighting against the British. Vaishnava communities where they take a stance where it seems that it's friends and enemies. Or it seems like one has to go beyond what you're asking us, you know, just how to see and actually act in a different platform. So could you clarify that for me, please?
Yes. The central point is Krishna. So if someone, say like in Juhu, Mr. Nair and his accomplices, they were acting against Krishna. So it doesn't mean that Srila Prabhupada wasn't their well-wisher, or even we weren't their well-wishers, but for the sake of Krishna, we had to fight. That was Arjuna's position. And that doesn't mean that we see them as friends and enemies based on ourselves being the center, where if you support me in my egoistic designs, you're my friend, and if you impede me, then you're my enemy. It's not friends and enemies. In fact, during this whole struggle in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada gave a beautiful, brilliant lecture on the verse from the third canto, the Sadhu Bhushanam, qualities of a sadhu. So, one of the qualities of a sadhu is he has no enemy. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the sadhu has no enemy, but that the world is so thankless that people can become the enemy of a sadhu, not because of any fault of the sadhu, but just because of their own nature. And he quoted Chanakya Pandit that there are two kinds of envious creatures. The envious serpent, Kala Sarpa, and the envious human being. And he says that of the two, the envious human being is more dangerous, because an envious serpent can be pacified by mantras or herbs, but an envious human being cannot be pacified by any means. So there are people who are envious of the Lord and the devotees. And in the spirit of service, we have to protect the interests of the Lord and the devotees. But it doesn't mean we're on the platform of personal friendship and enmity, but it's in the line of service to Krishna.
So my question is, I understand chanting can help cleanse, well, chanting cleanses the heart.
Offenseless chanting,
which is what I was going to come to next. The key is offenseless chanting, and in a way, the first offense is kind of what we're talking about here, to blaspheme other devotees, to think of other people as enemies. So how do we come out of that mindset of this person did this to me, or this person did that, and they're my enemy? Because if we're to get to that point, we have to offensively chant, but by thinking that way, we're already offensively chanting. How do you get out of that cycle?
By chanting. Yeah, it's of course we want to chant without offense, but even if we chant with offense, if we go on chanting, then eventually the offenses will clear. But you know, I don't know, you say offense, so I don't know how serious the offenses are. because one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, that in the course of our service, we're like always committing offenses against each other. And if I have to, you know, bow down and beg forgiveness every time I commit an offense, my whole day will be spent bowing down and asking forgiveness. So what should I do? And then Srila Prabhupada said, in the morning when we offer Vaishnava Pranam, the mood is internally that, you know, to like, please forgive me for any offenses that I might have committed along the way. So that's, we should internally always be, you know, trying to avoid offenses and praying not to commit offenses. But you're raising the question of the case where you're chanting, but at the same time you're thinking of someone who you feel wronged you, and you're like disturbed by the person. And
the ego is strong.
Hmm?
The ego is strong, powerful.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your question?
So, how do we get out of that cycle of that? This person is my enemy, this person is my friend.
Yeah, you have to realize that it's in your interest to give up that mentality, and it works against you to keep it. I had a very interesting experience in Durban, South Africa. I was going to see an Ayurvedic doctor. And he had his regular waiting room. But he also had a sort of meditation room. He was of Indian origin. And you had a choice. So I went in the meditation room. And he had some music playing. And while I was in the meditation room, I started thinking of a devotee who had really wronged me. I mean, it came so up, you know, it rose to my consciousness, and it became so prominent, filled my entire consciousness. And then eventually the doctor called me in, and I told him what happened. And I don't know, something like the music is designed to have that effect. I told him what happened. And he said that, you know, you're holding on to that anger or resentment is not hurting the other person. It's only hurting you. And in that case, he said specifically, it will manifest as a respiratory ailment. So he said, you know, you can hold on to it, but you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting the other person, and it's really in your interest to let go of it. And when you figure that out, it's like any addiction. You know, someone might be addicted to smoking, but if they understand it's not good for them, it's killing them, then even though they're addicted, they give it up for their own benefit. But there's a very nice verse in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita which says that, you know, one is dear to Krishna who does not put others into difficulty and who is not put in difficulty by others. Very, very nice statement. So, yeah, we shouldn't put anyone into difficulty, and we shouldn't be put into difficulty. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Rasaraj Prabhu.
Maharaj, you mentioned this, but also the other day in your class in Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, you mentioned this pastime when Srila Prabhupada was leaving, there was a set of devotees who wanted to, who did not want Srila Prabhupada to go on the parikram, and another set of devotees who felt that he should, because that's his instruction. So now, and Srila Prabhupada himself mentioned that, you know, see how much they love both sets of devotees. So this happens a lot, where there are two opinions, both have their own merits, and it so happens that then there's two sets of devotees that happen. It's almost as if there's left wing and the right wing, and it's almost impossible to break that empathy unless someone essentially tries to reconcile. I mean, you're not moving forward, you're just basically there trying to figure out what are we going to do, and nothing happens for them. Sometimes months, just because of the fact that. So how does...
Well, I can tell you what Srila Prabhupada said. Because at the Hyderabad farm, there were three very strong-willed leaders. And very individualistic. And Srila Prabhupada said, you meet together, you fight like cats and dogs, and then when you all agree, you go ahead. Otherwise, if you don't, you know, then like everyone keeps their own opinion, and nothing happens. There's no forward movement. I mean, I'm just responding to the hypothetical situation that you presented. Because the you know, the force that kept us all together was Srila Prabhupada. So they could, you know, they could like fight it out, so to speak, but not leave or give up because of their love for Srila Prabhupada. It reminds me, it's a very different situation, but what, just that phrase I used about leaving. So we were in Bombay. It was the early days, I think before we even got to, but definitely before we were living in Juhu. And so we were making life members. Later, Tamal Krishna Goswami and I formed a team, but at this stage we were going out separately. So he told me he met a man named Mr. Bhatia. Was a very, you know, very involved in religious and cultural activities, and wealthy man on the you know, top floor, or almost the top floor of a high-rise apartment building in Bombay. And in those days, there were very few high-rise apartments, just a few, and they were inhabited by rich people. So, Mr. Bhatia refused to become a life member. And Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at him and said, you know, Mr. Bhatia, I'm glad you didn't become a life member. Because we don't want people like you as members of our society. And he stomped out. And he was standing at the elevator, you know, waiting for it to come. And then Mr. Bhatia came running after him. No, no, Swamiji, come back, come back. I want to become your life member. Please come back. So Yeah. I mean, I couldn't make a life member like that. He did. He did. I might have made him a life member, but a different way. But he also made him a life member, and that was, that's, I mean,